Chapter 8 Spies. An hour later, when Violet and Sue Lee returned to the Civic Center, the other Aldens were outside waiting for them.
"Finally," Benny said as his sister and cousin approached.
"There must have been some lesson," Henry added.
"That's for sure," Violet responded.
"And you'll never guess what happened."
She told them about the mysterious phone call and Melody's reaction to it. They were all shocked. It was one thing to imagine someone might be guilty. It was another to have proof. And this new information did indeed seem like proof. No one said a word until they were on the bus headed home. Then Jesse asked Violet,
"Did Melody say she and the caller talked this morning?"
Violet remembered the exact words.
"As I said this morning, we should meet."
Sue Lee nodded.
"That is what Melody said."
"That telephone call this morning from the Civic Center lobby."
Henry did not finish his thought. It wasn't necessary. They were all thinking the same thing. Melody had not been phoning the hotel looking for them. She had been talking to that afternoon's mysterious caller.
"We should tell Grandfather,"
Benny said.
"What if we're wrong?"
Violet asked. She did not want to believe that Melody was the thief.
"Sue Lee and I only heard one side of the conversation."
Jesse drew in a long breath.
"It's hard to know what to do."
They fell silent, thinking. By the time they reached their stop, Henry had an idea.
"We should check this out before we tell anyone," he said.
Everyone agreed.
"Where did you say Melody was meeting the caller?"
he asked Violet.
"The town square at 8:30 tomorrow morning."
Henry nodded.
"All right, then. We'll be there at 8:15.
"Henry,"
Jesse said,
"what if they see us?"
"Oh, they won't see us,"
Benny assured her.
"There are plenty of places to hide."
At home, Grandfather Alden was reading the newspaper. Watch sat by the door.
"I knew you'd be along soon,"
Mr. Alden said when the young Aldens came into the kitchen.
"Watch was napping until 10 minutes ago. Then he woke up and went to wait by the door."
Watch wagged his tail. Benny patted him.
"Good boy,"
he said.
"Mozart's dog did that,"
Violet said.
"I read in a book that he always seemed to know when Mozart was on his way home."
"How was the rehearsal?"
Mr. Alden asked.
"We didn't get to hear much of it," Jesse answered.
Henry told him about the missing music and their search for it. He did not mention Melody's mysterious phone call. Mr. Alden shook his head slowly.
"How unfortunate,"
he said.
"The loss of that score is bound to upset everyone."
"Oh, that's for sure,"
Benny said.
"I'm so upset I'm hungry, and it's not even supper time."
"I can understand that,"
said Mr. Alden.
"All that thinking would make anyone hungry."
He sounded serious, but there was a teasing twinkle in his eye.
"If you can wait an hour, Benny, I'll make my specialty,"
Henry said. Benny grinned.
"Oh, chicken and Swiss cheese with all that good sauce on top?"
Watch barked. Benny laughed.
"Even Watch knows that's worth waiting for."
"Violet, why don't you go practice?"
Jesse suggested.
"We'll handle things down here."
"I'll set the table,"
Sue Lee offered.
"Thanks,"
Violet said.
"I can use all the practice I can get if I'm going to make the young people's orchestra."
She hurried up to her room. In a few minutes, the sweet sounds of her violin drifted into the kitchen. During dinner, Benny told Grandfather Alden about the instrument-making class.
"I made a drum from an empty coffee can,"
he said.
"It sounds good, too."
Mr. Alden was pleased.
"I've always said my children know how to make something from nothing,"
he said proudly.
"That's a good trait for getting along in life."
"We learned how to do that when we lived in the boxcar," Violet said.
Mr. Alden nodded.
"I hate to think of you children living like that, all alone,"
he said.
"But you did learn useful lessons there."
"And we found you,"
Benny reminded him. Mr. Alden reached over and put an arm around his youngest grandchild.
"I'm certainly glad of that."
"I'm glad, too,"
Sue Lee put in.
"So are we,"
the others all said.
The next morning, the children caught the first bus to the town square. During the ride, they decided to hide in the town hall, which opened early. No one was around when they entered the building. Quietly, they took up positions near the double front doors. From the windows beside them, they could see all but a small corner of the square. After a few minutes, Benny whispered, "Look!" A man in a dark hat and raincoat entered the square. Under his arm, he carried a large envelope.
"What do you suppose he has in that envelope?"
Henry wondered aloud.
"I bet it's money,"
Benny said. The man looked around, glanced at his watch, and began to pace.
"Maybe Melody won't come," Violet said.
There was a hopeful note in her voice. Just then, Melody came into view. She hurried over to meet the man. They shook hands and spoke briefly.
"Too bad we can't hear what they're saying," Jessie said.
"We don't need to," Henry responded. "Look!"
Melody took an envelope out of her bag and gave it to the man. In return, he gave her his envelope.
"I'll bet she's selling him the score,"
Benny said.